Ryan Smith joins us on the line. Smitty, you're going to the Masters, and I hear that this was supposed to be a surprise, but when you got asked and you really wanted to play, your wife had to come clean and tell you why you couldn't.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I wanted to be there, but I think this is a bucket list, so I think I got to excuse myself for this time around.
Now, how is your golf game?
Well, I mean, we've been out of the playoffs for the last little while. pretty good. Although we got four kids, so I'm above average. I'm 11. I think I could beat you.
If you're an 11, you could beat me for sure. Although, on any given day, things can happen, right? Things can happen. Do you get rattled if guys chirp you on the course? Because if that's the case, then you're done. Because I can dominate
better.
In that one.
Even better. I love it.
We're talking, of course, the 97 to 2001 rivalry, and it was really the last true rivalry for the Edmonton Oilers. And I think as a player, you probably would agree with that, because it was 5 years in a row. You hated each other. It was great battles, lots of overtime games. Talk about the Darian Hatcher, because I think for a lot of people, when we think Ryan Smith and Dallas, we think Ryan Smith and Darian Hatcher toe-to-toe. What did you like about him, and at the time, what did you despise and hate about him?
Well, if it weren't for Brownlee that said that about Hatcher and me battling, I wouldn't have called in, but my kids were all, you got to do it, you got to do it. So that was why, that's one of the reasons why I'm calling in on it, but that rivalry was phenomenal. There was a love-hate relationship, and at the end of every series, obviously we fell short for the most part, but they were very classy about it. They were a good organization and great people, and I hated it. Richard Mavichuk and Darian Hatcher, it was the worst. And there was times where you didn't want to get up, but at the end of the day, you just did it. And, I think our team experienced so much in those rivalries that we played in the playoffs against them. It helped us develop as an organization and as a group.
Smitty, I got to tell you, because he'd never admit this to your face, although maybe enough years have passed that he would. He used to beat on you more than anybody I can remember, and he had 30 or 40 pounds on you. He said to me once, it was funny, off the record, he said, "What's wrong with Smitty?" And I said, "Well, what do you mean?" He said, "He keeps getting back up. I punch him in the mouth. I cross-check him in the head. He keeps getting back up. What's wrong with this guy?" To me, that's kind of a badge of respect.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember in the line when we lost to him. I remember Richard Mavichuk and Darian Hatcher saying, "You know what, I respect you even more." And just the battles that we've given over a course of, the series or the series that we played against them, it was kind of encouraging to hear. But also, as a younger guy, for older guys like those two guys saying that, that meant a lot. And when we ended up beating those guys, and it's with you guys talked about Toddy Marchant scoring that big goal, I look back in my career, and I said this on the air to you before, Greg's, about where Ronnie Lowe, he sat me in game two.
Yeah.
And that changed my career, because I was like, I'm not going to do this, and this is never going to happen again. And I had to go out and earn it. And then obviously game three, I scored a couple goals. And I think we went on to win that series with Toddy scoring that goal in game seven.
Now, Smitty, I want you to be honest. I've never asked a player this. Curtis Joseph makes that save, and the guys on the bench are probably like, oh, my goodness. And then a few minutes later, it's 4-on-4, and Marchand goes by Ledyard. He didn't really score on a lot of breakaways. Were you thinking, okay, he's going to score here? Or were you thinking, nah, he's probably not scoring?
Well, I think at that point, I think it was double overtime. So at that point, anything could happen. And you're just hoping that we can end it. And when you get a break like that, I know Toddy wasn't the go-to guy in scoring on breakaways. But, boy, he nailed it, posted an end. And with his speed, I think it just solidified everything.
You were only 20 at the time, youngest guy on the team, if memory serves me correctly. And you know, yep. you're playing. You had 39 goals that year. You had you led the team in goals. You and Buckberger actually each had 5 in the playoffs that year. Just talk about your feeling after Game 7 in the locker room, and then the subsequent plane ride home.
I think it was more like, wow, we were in disbelief. Like, are you kidding me? We beat these guys? And then it's like, okay, we'll enjoy that this tonight and the travel. I think we flew in actually over to Denver. Mm-hmm. We ended up playing Denver, Colorado in the second round. And it was just like, we did this. Now we can believe. And I don't think we grasped that enough because I think we lost in 5 or 6 against them. But it was an awe feeling for sure.
Ryan, you know, you had so many highlights in your career, so many accolades, all of them deserved, you know, Olympic participation, going to the Cup final. To me, though, when I look at your career, what defines the kind of career you had was that stretch of about 5 years against Dallas. You didn't always win, but you showed up against what was often a superior opponent, and frankly, you played your backside off, and so did most of the guys on that team. To me, that's the definition of Ryan Smith's career.
Huh. Well, thanks, Brownie. I would agree in the sense that I tried to go out and earn respect not only from your own teammates, but around the league. And I do believe in those 4 or 5 years there that you know, gave me that extra edge of like, okay, now he's legit. He's, yeah, you know, scoring goals and playing defensively. Like, that was probably my knock before coming into the NHL was, this guy a two-way player yet? And then, you know, when you start hearing those things, I took it personal, and I wanted to be better. I wanted to be better in my own zone. I wanted to be better offensively. I was fortunate, like I've said, to play with Dougie Waite, a guy that was a disher, a guy that, you know, helped me get 39 or even more. But, you know, you try to earn that respect not only from your teammates but around the league.
Ryan Smith joins us. We are live at the Pint, the Alzheimer Face-Off kickoff. They're celebrating this year their themes, the 97-2001 five-year rivalry, the Oilers and the Stars. They'll have a lot of them there. Smitty, unfortunately, won't be there. He'll be at the Masters, so it's a pretty good excuse not to be there. What was also great in that first series of the 5, you scored your first ever overtime goal in the playoffs. It's 0-0, Game 5 in Dallas. Take me back to that goal, Ryan, and just, you know, at that time, I know you'd scored 39 regular season goals, but yeah. Overtime goal in the playoffs obviously trumps it.
I think I've scored 2 goals in my career outside the goal crease, and that was one of them. It was a booming slap shot, Andy Moog 5-hole. And, you know, I think it was just more or less trying to get the puck on net, and, you know, anything can happen, and it just so happened to squeak in. I think I'll be serious. It wasn't my hardest shot. It wasn't anything. It was just getting it on net. And luckily, it went in.
Yeah, Smitty, I remember that. And to say you didn't get all of it is an exaggeration. Hey, but it's in the net. It counts, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I do remember hearing myself scream, and it was dead silence in the building. And all of a sudden, Bucky and Arnie are on top of me, and it was a great feeling for sure.
You had heard, and everybody's always talked about how, you know, the emotion changes when you get to the playoffs, and that was your first year of it. By year 5, like, you talked about how you hated Matt Tkachuk and Hatcher, but there was a respect factor in there. You know, the payrolls, I was looking at it, and in the last year, in 2001, Edmonton's payroll was $24.8 million, and Dallas's was $50.6 million. Like, clearly you're the underdogs. Of all the series, though, is the 2001, when you guys lost 3 games in overtime, Smitty, is that the one where you look back and say, damn, that's the series we could have won?
Yeah. There's so many things that you look back at and say, well, we should have won here, and we didn't, but we shouldn't have probably won here, and we did. And, you know, hindsight's obviously 20/20, but at the end of the day, we grew together as a group, and, you know, we prevailed against Dallas. which, like you clearly said, they were a benchmark, as was Colorado, as was, you know, Detroit at the times, and they still are. But the best thing was is that whether you were an older guy or you're a younger guy, we just seemed to gel together as a team and find that extra life within. You know, we had Joel Hallbig come in. We had Steve Kelly come in. You know, it was just giving us life from young guys to, you know, obviously Bucky and Arnie and Dougie, you know, Luke Richardson. You know, this was developing something special. And, you know, especially when I'm coming in at a young age and just seeing this is like, we're in the playoffs. This is a whole new level. This is great experience, but we wanted to further that. And every year I thought we got better at it.
Smitty, I'll tell you what, when we do a segment like this, I'm reminded the years fly by quicker than we realize. I knew they'd have to tear the jersey off your back, and they did. I hope down the road when you run into Mo and Darian and all the different players that you will at different events, be they PA stuff or whatever, you can reflect on it. Because I tell you what, you're still pretty close to it, having not been out of the game that long. It was an unforgettable stretch of hockey, all the guys involved.
Yeah, I agree. And there's no question it was, like I said before, a love-hate, but it was also a respect level. And, well, I love reminisce about this kind of stuff. And it would be great to catch up with those two guys or Modano and chat with it. So I'm pretty devastated about missing this charity. I would love to have been around because it's obviously in our backyard. But I think it's a great excuse to go to the Masters.
Well, definitely a good excuse. I know they do this every year, so I'm sure if you want to, they might invite you next season. As well. And speaking of charities and fantasy camps and stuff, I noticed Wayne Gretzky announced you're going down to his fantasy camp, which I'm assuming, knowing how much of a fan of you are of Gretzky, man, you might be the biggest fan there compared to the guys who are going.
I would have been. I had to pull out.
Did you?
I double booked myself. It's unfortunate because it's tough to say no to Gretz, but family is coming first in this side of things. Maybe one day down the line, but it was very honoring to hear that he had invited me. And, unfortunately this time around, no go.
No go. Smitty, I haven't had a chance to talk to you very quickly, though. Joey Moss got inducted into the Alberta Sports Hall of Fame. What's your favorite Joe Moss story?
I love it when he comes in, and I know Gretz talked about loosening up the room, and he did. And he would come in and sing La Bamba. And you'd dance along with it, and we'd be on a 4 or 5 game losing streak, and it was the timing that kicked us all off and said, you know what, this guy is something special, not only in the world, but in Edmonton and the Oilers organization. It was awesome to see him go up there and just perform, and we go out and not only play for the team itself, but him. And It really meant a lot to us as a group.
Well, I know Sparky told us last week what you did for his 50th birthday party when you had the wrestling ring in your backyard for Joe. That was outstanding. That's awesome. So
that was pretty cool. That was a fun one.
Hey, Ryan, we really appreciate you calling in unannounced. Enjoy the Masters, and we'll hopefully, I'm sure we'll see you in the Alzheimer's face-off likely in 2016.
Thanks for having me on, guys, and enjoy the rest of the show.
You betcha. Ryan Smith.